with the editorial we, and it really means me, the me we. The Lashon HaNava. So that's what the Sefer Chassidim comes. And if he does Ha'aretz on the Sefer Chassidim, he quotes from the Arizal a different type. He says that when the Baruch Hu has some dirty work to do, he doesn't want to write that we did it. There are cooking integrations like that. The Arizal says like that. It says that there's a meditative by the Koshif. A Torah Lekim Lo'or Yom V'la Peshef Torah Lo'la. Then it says Torah Lekim Lo'la. Lo'la is a bad thing for you to say Torah Lekim Lo'la. It's Torah Lekim Lo'or Yom. The Yom he called, the Rebbe Shom called it Yom. Koshef Torah Lo'la obviously means the Rebbe Shom also. But then I could have gone from Yachav Shmai Al Arur. He doesn't want to say that he did it. It's different, it happened by itself. He didn't really do it. Like the Tosk is reading in Tevreich on the Tiyal Yom Lestet Tehar Lo'ar Tatsal. Rebbe Shom does in the Medrash quote that first. The Rebbe Shom doesn't want to be Yachav Shmai Al Arur. And here also, it says, Arizal says that that's the Pshat. Whenever it says Hashem, who will be Zinoi, means when he has to destroy a city, and he's going to punish somebody, so he says Hashem. The Rebbe Shom with the Bezin did it. He didn't do it all on his own. Mike, he did it all on his own. But the Rebbe Shom feels bad coming off of this to say that he destroyed the city. So he says, the Bezin decided, you know Bezin. Bezin, he controls the Bezin. He is the Bezin. Bezin decided to destroy the city, the Bezin destroyed Stone Valmore. So that's what the Arizal interprets, and that part is going to be in the Yeshayahu also, that the Rebbe Shom needed a Navi to give good Nebuahs and to give a lot of bad Nebuahs. A lot of bad Nebuahs. Yeshayahu Navi talks a lot about food made from Israel. Then he talks about Binyam Tziyam. She talks about a couple of different schools. Talks about Mekamas and Megoyim. Talks about some wonderful things there too. So the Rebbe Shom says, it's Li Ashla, whom will I send as a Shliach for me to do, to give the good Nebuahs? And who Li Elachlan, and who is going to be sent by the Bez then on behalf of the Bez to do the dirty work? To deliver the dead message. That's an interesting Heorot. That's what it means, who will be Zinoi. You have to look through all of Sukkim though. Sometimes you have Hashem on good things, but Hashem Pachad is very wrong. Right. Yeah. That was Ami Beis Din. Right. That's a good one. That's okay. But here it's Matzah. Because Hashem Pachadis Sarah, Kasher Amon, she had a baby. And why did it say there, Hashem? Because Rashi quotes the Medrash Kol Lachem Shneim of Hashem Hu Beis Dinoi. Now we thought that he only used the Lashon Beis Dinoi when it's a bad thing, because he doesn't want it to be written in the Talmud that he did the terrible thing. I don't know. It doesn't explain fully what the Kavanah is. More comments on the Parshas Akedah. We have a cloud that it has to be student. I love it, the air, but by the moment it's in the Parshas Akedah 280. It has to be student, it has to be sufficient. The Gemara says, what happens if a person who is known to us to be an honest individual comes and he tells us that he had a Nebuah, and the Rebbe Shalom said, I should kill somebody. So he should say, it has to be student, I should go kill him. The Gemara says no, that the only time I have a right to believe that person, even though if he tell me that this food is kosher, I believe him. He tells me the food is safe, I believe him. Whatever he says, I come from Shabbos, I believe him. And he tells me he has a Nevuah that I should do an Aveir, then the Gemara says I'm only committed to believe him. It is a Navi Muvgah, shiny. And the only reason why Yitzchak was an older boy already, either he was 26 or 36, different versions of Medrash HaRov, he was already older, he wasn't a little baby at the time of the Akedah. So how could Yitzchak let his father pull off such a stunt? How did Yitzchak listen to the father to let him kill him? But Kenegar Hadin, he's not allowed to listen to him, even though the father would be Naaman on other things, but he shouldn't be believed. His claim that he got a Nevuah, how he was sure to kill his son. But he says, no, the mother says in Sanhedrin, that case says, no, he had already been established as a Navi Muvgah Shani. Yitzchak already knew that his father Avraham was a Navi from a long time back. The Navi is already known to be a Navi, he had already proven himself that there is some oxen on other occasions, he had Nevuah. But then if he tells you how you are sure to do an Aveir, then it's okay. Then you have to listen to him. But the question is on the Gemara, why does the Gemara consider this a problem? Why do you have to come out to Navi Muvgah Shani? Why not say regular way to F and M of the Yisur? Why isn't it regular that can end this thing? Not Dovah should be over. To do an Aveir, yeah. You know, a person tells me that he had a nevuah, and the Baruch Hashem told him that I should eat this plasma. So why am I only allowed to believe him if he's known already to be, he already has a reputation as a Navi Musa? He doesn't have this reputation or not. Why not just throw it up and then be sure? One day in Pesach, so that Navi Musa is only Lahotah, not Lahotah. So he was saying that it's Mukta. What's the pshat in that day in Pesach? Why do they recommend these two among the name of the Hakka and not the Hakka? When Yerushalayim, that's quoted, that opinion of Pesach is quoted in the following sense. So the Gemara in Yevamah got Pesach that says, and that's how the Ramah passes in Yerushalayim, that they recommend these two and is not known in Kenegar Pesach. Kenegar Kenegar Hazrat is not believed. If he says that something that is known to be kosher just became trained, but then he's saying Kenegar Hazrat, and saying that's what he says to Hakka is not believed, because I have the text to take it. The Kenegar Hazrat is not believed. But if he says on something, Lahakal means on something that I don't know one way or the other, I don't know if it's kosher or trained. Then if he says whether Lahakal or Lahakal, then he's Nemah, because it doesn't have any Hazrat at all. That's what it means. So the Bitzel of Panavish says that that's what the story is over here. Whenever the Navi comes to tell me that there's a Hekar at Sikha, the Navi tells me, Hayrasha, you should eat Kaza today. That's called Kenegar Hazrat. Because the din is the Cheskas Yisrael, that we know there is a din of Ritzicha. Normally, under normal circumstances, there is a din of Ritzicha Karim Boilem. There is an Issachaza Karim Boilem. All the din of Torah are in existence. So the din of are existing already, and it now becomes Latuke from the din of Torah. That's called Erech, it's Kenegar Cheskas Yisrael. So a bit to Lepanovich, right, in the space of Zephyr Yitzchak, that's why the Gemara feels that it's a special Nemanah of the Navi Musaq Shaini. And it's not that the Navi Musaq Shaini, the Erech would not be believed. To say Kenegar, Kenegar HaZok. And from this, he has an interpretation in a famous Yerushalmi and Yuna. It's Yerushalmi and Yuna, the beginning of Amalahem Hamun Yuna. Anybody ever learned Mishnah is Amalahem Hamun Yuna? They wanted to shech the carbon Talmud at the crack of dawn. Every day they would shech carbon Talmud very, very early, way before Zricha. After Arot HaShacha, but way before Zricha, an hour before sunrise. That's why the Pesach says that you're permitted to daven Shacharis L'Hatzila before sunrise, because in Beit HaMikdash, because the tefillahs are connected to Eden, and the carbon Talmud every day used to be before sunrise. And most of the other Poskim disagree with him, and they all know that even though in Beit HaMikdash, they offered the Talmud Shal Shachar every day before sunrise, so the Ramban writes in Brachos in the Mechamis that Kohanim's reason him. That's only for Kohanim you allow that, but as far as other people are concerned, like for us, the Davin Shachar is before Zricha, we don't allow it based on the Mishnah and the Gila, the Kosher Mitzvah Bayon, Kosher Kalayom, and the Hatili shouldn't do it until after Hanei Tzacham. And did he ever, if he did it before, he shook a loom of him, he said, Halloway, he's Davin Shachar before Hanei Tzacham, as long as he did it, he showed Amur HaShachar, he gets to be ever. So that's my question about Davin and Shachar, because Davin and Shachar is patterned after the meeting, Tfilis Kenegi, Tfilim Tiknum, and the Talmud Shal Shachar was always carved in the morning before Hanei Tzacham was just at the crack of dawn. So maybe Shachar, that we daven should be an exception to the rule. Maybe Shachar should be allowed to daven before Hanei. Other mitzvahs for sure you're not allowed to do Lahatzir, to say Hallel, or to say Kalula, or to do other mitzvahs, that the Yisrila, let's say, before Hanei Tzacham, Lahatzir is not allowed. But the others would be Kosha, or Lahatzir or not. The Mishnah says there, that when they would send up a coin on top of the roof of the Beit HaMikdash to look for a Chevron, to tell them whether Heir Penei Kol HaMizrach Ad Shebe Chevron. Heir Penei Kol HaMizrach is the time to share the Talmud Shal Shachar yet. And the guy, the one man on the roof, could scream down, Heir Penei Kol HaMizrach, he would scream down Bar Koi, you can see the sun shining over there, and they would share the Talmud Al Pi. The Shalmi Yosef Akash, a record is Nema? You still? A record is Nema? How can it be? How can you trust me a record? So the Yishalmi said, no, says David in the Gleam, right in the Shachar Yim, should the guys inside, if they don't believe him, they can go outside and see on their own. The Erechot, whenever he's testifying on coming, you can easily check on your own, we're afraid to tell a lie. And if you have a milk of David in the Gleam, we assume right in the Shachar Yim, even though he's an Erechot, and he can read it, should not be believed, nevertheless, the din is that right in the Shachar Yim, because it's David in the Gleam. And similarly, the Yishalmi says the same thing in the following case. A woman is in labor and she gives birth to a baby late on Friday night. Late, right? A half an hour after Shkia. So if you have a clock and you see and you look on the Zman, you look on the Luach and it says what time Sefer Tachanun, so you know whether the baby was born before Shkia, Dein HaShemar, so you have to say Sefer Tachanun, there's no problem. In the Ratzachan, it's said that they have no clock. That no problem. You have to go outside the second the baby's born. You have to send somebody outside to see whether it's Pesach or Chavrus or not. They want to know, is the baby born by us? Marsh is a Friday evening, in which case the bris will take place on Sunday morning. Was the baby born after Pesach or Chavrus, the Vaday on Shabbos, in which case the meal will be there for Shabbos next week. So the Yishalmi has to tash it, but he only sends out one person to find out. One woman tells you whether it's Pesach or Chavrus. The Yishalmi has to tash it, the lead. How can you take the word of an Erechot and in the Chal Shabbos next week? The meal should be there for Shabbos and the Erechot says that he's there to take it from. Shami answers, Musa, a little glee, let me shop the inches. They don't take the word, but they'll go out and see themselves whether it's dark or not. Whenever the Erechot testifies on something that you can easily tell the Shas Maisa whether he's lying or telling the truth, but then Erechot is believed despite the fact that he shouldn't be believed. So the Achrayim Olei Eskana, the Yishalmi and Amalehem HaMamuna, the Rabbein HaHanan, of course, the beginning of Amalehem HaMamuna, on a Sefer Tina. The Olam question is, what's the problem? Of course the Rechot has never been through it. Why do you have to come on to the call of Moses David Leglula and Yishak the Inches? A Rechot has never been through it. When a Rechot says that it's man speaking for Tom, it's take his birth to it. And he says the baby was born on Shabbos, he again take his birth to it. What's the problem? So this is a conversation that says in a statement that it's not so easy over you. So if you want to shech the korban on Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur is an Issa Malacha. It's a special heter, an exception to the rule that the korban talmid is beicha Yom Kippur. So whenever the rabbi is coming to say that you have a heter against an Issa, that's called Kenega Chesed Issa. You want to be mal a baby on Shabbos, next Shabbos, that's a rabbi Kenega Chesed Issa. A rabbi Kenega Chesed Issa is not Nemar. So that's what the Yishami says. You should really have required two aiden, but because it's Ruch is a little Gluya, so we assume like Yishakri. An interesting eye-caller, that should be called a Erechot Kenegat HaSkasisa. When you have something is doctor, and I have a Heter, and the Erechot tells me that the Heter exists, the Heter is here, that's called a Erechot Kenegat HaSkasisa. Normally, Erechot Kenegat HaSkasisa means a different thing. The most example is, here's a Maisa Sheni on the table, and you're not allowed to eat a Chutzi Yishalai, and the Erechot says that the farmer was part of the Maisa Sheni. I was watching when the farmer was part of the Maisa Sheni, and therefore, although this Kasisa was the first Kasisa, the Issa was taken off already. But this is a different kind of an Erechot Kenegat HaSkasisa. That the Issa exists, and there is a Heter for the Issa, and the Erechot is testifying, but the Heter applies in this instance. People upon it, as you say, that's also called Erechot Kenegat HaSkasisa. And that's the same, but I'm wrong. That when a Novi, when a man comes and he says, I am a Novi, and I got a Nevuah, that you have to do an Aveira, that I have to do an Aveira now. That he calls that Erechot Kenegat HaSkasisa. It's an interesting thing. That's how he's saying you're a dead. Shach explains that place like that. A Rechot is only Nemun, Lahokka, not Lahakna. Why not Lahakna? Means that something is the Heter. I have place in my recipient. A Rechot comes in and tells me that somebody cooked up the phone with my food. So that's a Rechot. Can I get Pesach Heter? A Rechot, can I get a Hazot? It's not believed. But when a Rechot comes in and says that something is kosher, what do you mean he says it's kosher? So he's telling me to have a piece of food and I don't know what it is. I don't know whether it's kosher or trade. I have no idea what it is at all. And he comes and he tells me either one way or the other, so then he believes that it's not Kenegat HaZot. That's how he's saying the other day. It doesn't mean, because it doesn't really mean Lahakal as opposed to Lahakna. And after his name, Lahakal means when there's no Hazot one way or the other. But whenever there's a Chesed of Tetzer and the Erechot comes to Kenegat HaZot, then the Erechot would not be believed. It would also not be believed. It would also not be believed. Erechot would not be believed at all. This piece of Torah has a long story from Elisha Hanavi. The pasuk says that a crow gets tishnayim. The Gemara says, what does tishnayim mean? Does it mean that he gets two-thirds of the Elisha? The Gemara says, no. The Gemara has a whole derivation that he gets like two sons. That says there are 10 sons. And one of them is a crow, that you divide the Elisha. You don't say the crow gets two-thirds tishnayim, and then the one-third is divided by the other nine children. You don't say that. The din is you divide the Elisha instead of into 10 portions into 11. The crow gets like two sons. But one of the prominent conservative theoreticians of our generation keeps on publishing essays that really the din HaTorah really means that the crow gets two-thirds. But the rabbis realize that it's not fair. The other kids are going to kill him. He's going to get two-thirds. Nine kids are going to divide one-third, so they realize that it's no good, so they change, they distort it intentionally, the law, And they made the law that you divide it into 11 portions, and he only gets like 2 cents. And the proof to this is that the word Krishna in biblical Hebrew means 2/3, and it doesn't mean 2 shares. The proof is from the Nebuah by Elisha HaNavi, that when Eliyahu was about to go up to heaven, so Elisha says, he asked Eliyahu to somehow do him a favor and to enable him to get Krishna in the Rukaka. He should have the ability to have Pishnaim of the Nebuah of Eliyahu HaNavi. So what does that mean? Yes, but double, twice. The Rebbe is about to die, and the Talmud says, do me a favor, Rebbe. Give me the ability that I should be twice as big a Navi as you. What kind of darakah is that? So obviously, the pshat is that yes, the Rebbe, please help me in heaven. I should at least be 2/3. I should have the ability to be 2/3 of your Nebuah. So he asked for more Nebuah than the Rebbe. It's like a chutzpah and a hazer. It must be that just like Elisha was asking for 2/3 of the Nebuah of the Rebbe, so too, the Pasuk in Chumash, Pishnaim obviously means 2/3 of the Yerusha, and the rabbis later changed it, just like the holy rabbis in the time of the Talmud had the ability to change all the laws then, and of course the holy father saying Hillel instituted a fruit book, Bechule, and therefore we today have a right to change all the laws also. So the Gemara says, fuck yeah, the Gemara says Pishnaim means that he has double, Pishnaim means double Shia, doesn't mean 2/3. The Gemara says that Eliyahu HaNavi was Mechaya one mace, and Elisha was Mechaya two maces. So one of the maces he was Mechaya is in this Yitzhak Peret. The other mace, the Gemara says, is the other mace. The one Amara says, the Gemara, Naaman was a Metzora, the Tzartzuvo of Aram. He was a Metzora, and he didn't know how to cure himself, and he came, and he said he should wash on the yard, and I'll be next. He cured him, and the Gemara says, Metzora is Tzartzuvo, so that was the other one that he was Mechaya. And the Gemara says, another opinion, no. When they buried Elisha, that by mistake, the burial started next to Russia, and then the Gemara says, that's Kenever Adin. They happened to mean to bury a tzaddik next to Russia, so the Roshua made a nest, and the Russia walked out of his grave. The Pasuk says, the Roshua made a nest, the Russia was dead. He rose in from heaven, and then brought it from him. They ran away, because it was a Muhammad, yeah. They confused. There's a whole story from Tanakh that says that the Rebbe Shlomo made a Tzia Sameisim on a Rosh just in order that the Tzaddik should not be buried next to the Rosh. The Gemara has machlekes whether that counts or not, because one Amori says that the Rebbe Shlomo made the nest and he should walk away and he should drop down and get over there. Not that he walked away and he lived on Meri Yashashon. If he only walked away and then he dropped out a block later, so then how can you count that as a double Pishnaim, as a double Tzia Sameisim? So then you have to count Naaman Hamoini. Naaman starts to go around, but he cured him from his Torah. So the Gemara says that Pishnaim means a double portion, doesn't mean 2/3. And this week's Tzaddik is one of the occasions that he did it. And Tzia Sameisim on the baby. That's an interesting question. They point out a good question. How could the Talmud ask for double portion of the Nebuah? The question have a long arithmetic to explain what the Kabbalah, and then what did Eliyahu HaNavi tell us? He says, if you see me going up in the chariot, the fiery chariot to heaven, then your request will be fulfilled. And if you don't see me, then it will not be fulfilled. What has it got to do with it? He sees me, he doesn't see me. And then of course, the Beis HaKrayim has a long explanation of what's the shot in the request, and why should it depend whether he's going to see me? Not jealous, but still sounds a little strange, no? She basically wants to be great, twice as great as the next. I don't know, the Lord says that. No, the more interpreted, he wanted to be twice as, he wanted to have twice the ability of Koyach Nisrin that Eliyahu had. Eliyahu is Machiah one leg, and he wanted to have the ability to be twice as much. The Machiah two legs. That's what the more interpreted? I don't know. That's more things to learn. Kishnan Beruch Akor. Kishnan Beruch Akor. I want to have twice as great. I want to be twice as great in the Vua, as Ruach in the Vua, as I do with any one.
You are
often seen in here. Could be. The Gemara interpret is twice as great as you are. That the Gemara is Havamin. The Gemara in Barabasin and Yeshnefa has a Havamin, and maybe it means that the Kurd gets to the third. The Gemara says, no, it doesn't mean that. It means that if there are 10 sons, you divide them in 11 portions, and you get 2 11. So they say, no, But the Havamina was the understanding. And then in days of the Tanoim, they changed the law. And exceedingly often they could be here. They don't say Tachmin a couple of days before Purim, because if Mar had a Havamina, you should be able to read the Megillah. If Mar had a Havamina, they had it too young to get over. They can't have it, they can do away with that. The conservatives also have very great respect for the Gemara, to the extent that even Havamina is a Kodesh Kadoshim. More Kodesh Kadoshim than the Mashkan. The Zohar has a famous comment on this story that the Tzad spoke on this, the Samadhi. Why did the Navi ask her, Maya Shloch Baboyus? If the Navi is going to make a Moises, so she's going to have a lot of oil, so why don't you just make a mess? If she has oil, why does she have to have a little bit? But the Zohar has a comment that for the Zohar, when Shashis made Jesus created the world, Yesh Vayayim. And ever since it says, Vayim, I should show them, Vayim, Ephas, but from then on, not only on the seventh day, from the seventh day on, in the first Marvel mistake, from the seventh day on, he only makes Yesh Vayayim. He no longer wants to make any Yesh Vayayim. On this occasion, the Rabbi asked, so what do you have in your house? If you have a little bit, then the Rebbeinu will make a mess, Yesh Me'ayin, and make it stand to get bigger. And he's not going to make a mess to make a Yesh Me'ayin, to make your house full of oil or full of money. If you have nothing there, the Baruch is only Kaal if there's something there. The Baruch is not Kaal after Sora or Reikanya, an empty table. Sora is a table, Reikanya is empty. That's the famous line from the Zohar. And that's why in the days of the Gemara, we still have today a Minhag of on the bench, you eat some bread on the table. Why? Because in the Baruch HaMazim, the Esther Shani Farah, the Yemis and Nader find the same with Kalkulator, give us food. If you have a little food, the Russians can make a net, the Bracha can be solid and make it into more food. If there's no food there at all, then you're not going to make a Bracha solid on an empty table. That's the literal lesson of the day. A Fetelary Tanya, an empty table. Just like the Gemara says, that you should be careful not to do a Chukka Sadoyim. For Orchim Labrot Shulchan, of course it says in Novi that there is an Avedi Gore God, and you used to worship this Avedi Gore by putting a table full of Shlemos, putting on Chalos Shlemos, loaves of bread that were not cut, that were not greased, so you had the Shlemos, and that was the act of Avedi Gore. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, according to the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Pei Chelet, that those who have, this is a very old minute, to leave food on the table when you bench, to leave bread, that's in the Gemara, and it's based on the Zohar, based on the Kaffara. So the Gemara says, well, you should be careful, if, let's say you've eaten up all the bread, and you want to bring some bread to the table, you should bring a prusa rather than bring a shlema. If you bring a shlema, that used to be a faith love of the Zohar. I said that everybody has already forgotten that such an Avodah Zohar existed, nobody even knows that that was the worship, that was the form that they worshipped it. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. You should be medactic not to take a shlame, you should rather choose to bring a priest to the table. The Pasuk says that she was afraid, as Vadya Hanavi's wife was afraid, Hanosha Balataka to Shnei Yeloda, La Avodin. What kind of union is this when I take the children as Avodin? Because your father owed money. Vadya Hanavi borrowed money. So the Yosamech explained that this was in the days of Achav Parasha. And he used to be done, he worked in the place of another Israel. But after the rest, he used to be done, the didn't have goyim. And by the goyim, if a person owes money, he doesn't have money to pay, so they take him away. If he's serving, they take him, if he's children. Didn't have to pay, there is no such a law. It's only the dini b'nei noya. And with this hafeir, he explains the Gemara in Yesh Neitan. The Gemara in Baba Basri, that the Koran gets pishnayim for what the father has at the time of death. Only the mukta. If the father, somebody is going to pay money to the father, but he didn't collect it yet. The morish died before he collected a choy. So the choy was roy to collect, but he hadn't had it yet. He didn't have it yet. But the choy doesn't get pishnayim the roy, he only gets pishnayim the mukta. That's what we know. So the mother has one line, the mother makes a distinction. It depends who owed the money to the father. If it's a roy who owed the money to the father, then it's called mukta. If it's a Jew who owed money to the father, then it's called roy. So the Rambam says, because it's that obvious, he says it doesn't make any sense. Because Goy owes money to the father, then it's Mukhzor. While the father is more assured that he's going to collect the debt. And if it's a Jew who owes money to the father, then it's Roy, then it's a whistle for his money. Why? If anything, it should be just the reverse. But the Jew, the Nochem, Amoch, Ashurim, and paying back the Chodesh, and some of the Nochem will not pay back the Chodesh. But if anything, if you want to make a distinction, it should be in the reverse order. But if the Nochem owes money to the father can whistle for the money, then it's called Roy. Who knows if he'll ever get it back? If the Israel owes money, the stomach is going to pay back the money. So then there's much more to say that the money is considered mukhs of the adho of not considered work. But the Rashbam makes fun of that Jewish Sagonim and says it doesn't make any sense. And the Yosemite says on this process that it makes a lot of good sense. He says, no, the shot is like this. If the Israel owes me money and he doesn't have money to pay, I can talk to Israel for the money. There's nothing I can do. What am I going to do? I'm going to sell him as an ebbet. There's only the Nimka Bignevot of the Lord Rehovot. You can only tell him there's an evidence he stole and he owes caring. But the halvua that he borrowed and he doesn't have money to pay, he can't stop with the note. He can't even force him to get a job. If he gets a job and he earns money, then he has to hand over the money to the Baal Chayav. But if he doesn't have a job and he doesn't earn any money, then he doesn't have to give it over. In fact, if even a machlokes tosfos has a machlokes rabbi Tam and other Baal Chayav regarding his husband's shibur to support his wife, if he gives his wife mizonos and he has to buy clothing to his wife, food and clothing, what happens if he doesn't have any money, doesn't have a job? Is he required to get a job in order to give her food and clothing? But the thing is, if he has a job and he's making money, then he has to hand the money over to his wife. If he's not making any money, he doesn't have to give it over. That's what the Rabbi Tam says. If the guy, even the shiva can support your wife, only means if you have money in the future. If you don't have, you're not required to go get a job. So the shiva, you put it to the wife are the same as any other household, same as any other place. And all the body of places screams at him and says, I should show them that it's wrong, I should say such a thing. If the husband doesn't want, he doesn't have to support his wife, then doesn't want to get a job. So that's the machloekes by the shibudim that the husband has to the wife for food and clothing. But as far as the halvah is concerned, that's not what it is. The guy has no money to pay, he can't do anything to him. If he has money, he has to hand it over. If he doesn't have money, he can't touch it. But if a nochri owes money and he doesn't have money to pay, you see that the dinah hanochri and sell him as an eved. And that's why they passed him them the dinah hanochri and said they were going to sell the children as avodim. That's how far it went. So the SMF says, and here's this nochri, he says that's the pshat and the Jews and Sadronim and the Gemara. But if the nochri owes money to the father, then of course Muzah, the father is sure that he's going to collect the money. If the nochri doesn't have money, they're going to take him to court and sell the nochri as an eved. Father would have certainly had the ability to collect the debt. But if you throw a lot of money to the father, what are you going to do if the child has no money to pay? Nothing. You can't force him to pay. If he doesn't have money, he doesn't want to take a job. You can't force him. So if you throw those accounts to somebody else, it's only Roy. Who says that the other guy will ever collect it? But if nobody owes money, according to what you're saying tomorrow, that's called mercy because you are definite and positive that you will certainly have the ability to collect. The Gemara says that whichever way you stake the game better, that's what you do. You can really bring it to a Jewish court also, and then a Jewish court is supposed to talk to whichever din is better and say that he's well. The other question is, what kind of a din is that? So there's an essay in the Grammar J.J. Journal explaining that question. I think shot and he's the Hakroah based on Grammar. What kind of a din is that? Whichever din is better and favor the Yisrael, The pasuk says that when the baby got sick, he had a sunstroke and he died because she got so nervous that she wanted to go tell the Navi. The Navi had given her a bracha. She didn't have to a child. The Navi gave her a bracha, she should have a baby. And then she had a baby, the baby died. And she went to tell the Navi that the baby that he had left her with died. So the husband got nervous. The husband didn't know that the baby had died. So he said, what are you running to the Navi? Matu Akhal Lefet Elev Hayom, no Chodesh Roi Shabbos. Why do you go today to the Navi? It's not Chodesh and it's not Shabbos. Well, tell Mishalom, say nothing. She didn't want to tell her husband that the baby died. And then the Navi made an ed, so the baby came back to her. So the Gemara Rosh Hashanah comments on this part of Chodesh Roi Shabbos in Khan, in this part of the Dira, there is a mitzvah to visit the Rebbe on Yom Tov. Where is the part of the Dira, Yom Tov, Pisa, Chodesh and Shabbos? So the Morgan Avraham comments in his speech on the Alkut Shemoni, the end of Yeshaya, and he's on the ground, he's quoted also saying the same chat, 100 years later, 300 years later, in one hour, 100 years later, that why does he say, L'chodesh Hayoim, the Lord Shabbos, Shabbos comes more often than Yesh Tov. So obviously the word Shabbos in this church is refers to Yom Tov, doesn't it say? That he says, Yishtav in the Chamin, Lachat HaShabbos. Shabbos over there means Yom Tov, so we know for the word Shabbos means Yom Tov. And then Avraham has his comment on the pasuk, in the end, the very last pasuk, next to the last pasuk in Yeshaya, which is, Hayom is the first to pass in the Shabbos to Shabbos, Yoro Kavoso, it's my first with one eye, Yom Hashem. So the Medrash, the Alki Shimon, he says in our pasuk, that now, during the Golus, today Yisrael, on the Sabbath of Hashem, that we should give it back to Beit HaMikdash, the Halev and the Sefer, contained in the Yonah, and we should come to the Yoro Rego, and so we'll be gone and we'll bring the Karmonis and so on, but with the Maestro we don't have Aliyah Regal now, but because B'nai Yisrael are yearning to have Aliyah Regal all these years of Golus, the Lord should love us, so the Lord will pay us back
all of the Aliyah Rebbe that we brought, and have Aliyah Rebbe not only on Yom Tov, and have Aliyah Rebbe on Rosh Chodesh. Because the Hayom is ready to touch them, because Shabbat to Shabbat, the Yom Kabbos, the Shabbos is fun. The Mogen Avraham says, you see clearly that the Arkut Shimon is interpreting that the Kodesh B'Kodesh means on his Kodesh. The Shabbat to Shabbat refers to the Shabbat Shabbat. It doesn't refer to Shabbat. Shabbat Bereshit, the weekly Shabbat. It refers to the Shabbat Shabbat. And not only will Aliyah Laredo, Yabba Kabbos, the Shabbat Shabbat means Aliyah Laredo. Not only will it be Aliyah Laredo on Shabbat Shabbat, and there will also be Aliyah Laredo on Rosh Chodesh. And here also, Tandu, the Pesach is used in the same way. First it says Rosh Kodesh, and then it says Shabbat. The candle he wrote, the record is on the going, pointed out on this part, and the Gemara Avon pointed out on the other part of the album. But that's the family had the Gemara on this bookshelf. But Shabbos, where Kodesh are young, where Shabbos, today is neither where Kodesh nor Yom Tov, why is it in the Rebbe? You see, there's a minute long, but there's even in the Rebbe on Rosh Kodesh and on Yom Tov. How come the Gemara doesn't mention the Rosh Kodesh, but the Gemara says, you see, Kai Vona Hatsa Kaneyabba Kaneyabba, you see, to be Matsa Kaneyabba on radio, based on this process, not from this margin, it says, Chayiv al-Mahat, what's going to happen to this lady? What's going to say to the lady? Because
you're talking about
a
lady,
you're
calling her,
you're a woman, she's a girl, she's a man. A young to be certainly a woman's holiday, a young to be the holiday of the men, I'm too young. But it's only a holiday
of the women. Right. Why are you telling her about
her
party?
She's
the only
one of the women.
I
mean, women have to go, and men don't have to go. Could be. That one could say another shot. That one could say an additional shot. Parallel to the pasuk at the end of Yeshaya, that was just mentioned before. The pasuk says that Lot did love Rahayot, Levi, the Yechonim Zuchot, and Yishabim Zuhabata, Yalakabas, and Stapis upon Lot did love, and there will be Aliyah Laregel, not only on Shabbat to Shabbat, and Shabbat to Shabbat, and there will also be Aliyah Laregel on Rosh Chodesh. The question is, if this pasuk in Yeshaya contradicts the Rambam's principle that the mitzvah sasar do not change, those sasar lo sehim ochlevin, so those who say that the mitzvah sasar is rosh mon, that one of the youths didn't leave her in one minute. That the laws of the Torah will never change, the laws of the Torah are immutable. So how does the pasuk in Yeshaya say lo sehim ochlevin, and then he says, then he's going to repay us for all our real regal that we lived during the years of growth that we were yearning to do, we were davening to Hashem, we should give you the opportunity, then we'll give you the opportunity, we'll make up for all the Aliyah Rebbe that we missed. We'll have Aliyah Rebbe on Rosh Chodesh. But it doesn't make any sense. We have a new mitzvah. Those things are going to give a 614th mitzvah. Aliyah Rebbe on Rosh Chodesh. But that's the shot is like this. That the mitzvah of Aliyah Rebbe really applies on Shabbat Shabbat. Doesn't it think? And on Rosh Chodesh, perhaps, Rosh Chodesh is also in the same parasha with the Shabbat Shabbat. In parasha Shemot. But perhaps the Shabbat also has a mitzvah to Hagadishisayim. So Hagadishisayim is more similar to Yom Tov than it is to Shabbat. And Shabbat is not Aliyah Laredo. But on Yom Tov there is. The family of Rosh Chodesh also has such an Indian of Dishisayim like Yom Tov. So perhaps although there's no fear of Aliyah Laredo, but perhaps there would always be a fear of Aliyah Laredo. And the Rebbe Yehuda has a tshuva where he connects Aliyah Laredo with Lahakpo Pnei Rabbo Baredo. And Yehuda writes in the tshuva, quoted by the Shari Tshuva, and Hilchot Yom Tov. As the finish that Bizman Azeh, that we don't visit the Beit HaMikdash on Shabbat Shigolim, so the real Dindya Raisa is five on the Hakko Kanab of Rego, the Dindya Raisa no longer applies. And he bases this on his Mahan Kedushim in the first parish. In my case, the Kedushim, that a Talmud is not permitted to turn up to the Rebbe more than twice a day, once in the morning, once in the evening. Why? Because you only say Kriyashma twice a day, once on Shabbat, once on Ma'irah. So it's not proper to be Mechabe, the Rabbi, the Rebbe, more than the Rebbe Shalom. You can't demand Vod Harav, more than Kodashim. So the Rebbe Yehuda says, well, the same is applicable to Aliyah Laredo. If the Rebbe Shem only requires Aliyah Laredo three times a year, if he can only require five of them to have to come to Laredo three times a year. His man said, they can't be despising the Rebbe Yehuda claims of his, that we no longer practice Aliyah Laredo. He says, it would be a bizarre to the Shin if you would visit the Rebbe three times a year. He says, that's why the Ikeradim, the Jim Jerais, the five of them to have to come out of the Rebbe, the Rebbe no longer applies to his man. You see in the Gemara that they practiced it. You see that they had a practice, even as man's oldest brother. Even in his name, his man Hamaroi, and the minute always is, in many communities, the minute is, like the visit of Rabbi Anaman Shalosh Hazan, a place of Shri Sukkot, based on that Gemara. And he says that's not the real din there, right? It's just a zeta to the din that used to be, his man Hamidah. So perhaps the shot is like this, that Aliyah LaRegelam Shalosh Hazan was a chayva. And this man that it was practiced, it was not a favor to have, Mahakpok and Rabba Baraga. Aliyah the regular and Rashi Chadashim was always the mitzvah for a shul. But if you want to be other regular, be a kiyum. Some if you walk into the Azara in the middle of a Thursday afternoon at 12:30, there's no kiyum Aliyah the regular. But this mitzvah, you visit the Beit Hamikdash, it's not called Aliyah the regular. But if you visit on Rashi Chadashim, because Rashi Chadashim do have a kedushas hayom that's similar to kedushas yom, because it's not of the nature of Shabbos, but rather of the nature of yom, but perhaps it could exist always as a mitzvah for a shul. So the pasuk in the end of Yishai is not telling us a new mitzvah is going to come into existence throughout the world. It's telling us an old mitzvah that was always there. The Rosh Chodesh always had a mitzvah of Yom Tov, and there was never a fee, but there was always a kiyum there. So in all the generations, whoever wanted to, could be on a regular Rosh Chodesh and have a kiyum on mitzvah, even though there was no problem. The Rosh Chodesh, the Medrash explained, because of so many years ago was built up and the yearnings and the desire to be the time of Aliyah Regal, the Rosh Chodesh says, okay, kindle up. You want to make up for all the past Aliyah Regals that you missed, to do this optional mitzvah that I always gave you. Oh, you want me to chodesh, come every Rosh Chodesh, hop around whenever you want. Every Rosh Chodesh, there's always such a mitzvah. So if this is correct, maybe that's the shot here. Like chodesh hayom v'lo Shabbos, why are you going to visit the Rav? You only visit Chayvah on the hot top of the Rabbi. You only visit the Rav on such an occasion, like the Rebbe Gilui makes the relationship on such a time of the year, and there's an Indian to visit the Beit HaMikdash, that's only on Rosh HaDoshim. It was always a Rishut. And on the Golem, there was a Chayvah. So he says, but now it's neither Rosh Chodesh nor Yom Tov. Why are you going to visit? So perhaps then, as a Rishut, perhaps some people would visit the Beit HaMikdash on Rosh Chodesh. As a Rishus, and also visit the Rabbein as a Rishus, I understand. Very interesting. The affair, I think, is more interesting than the thing. Very interesting.